Psalm 37, verse 18. Give us verse 18 first. The Lord knows the days of the what? The word upright stands for those who have righteousness by faith, because we believe in Jesus. How many of us believe in Jesus here? Thank you. He says, the Lord knows the days. The days we are living in is our own days. Am I right? And their inheritance shall be for what? Please, can you look up on the screen? Their inheritance, their portion shall be for all time. One of the things I've learned as a believer over the years is that my inheritance does not depend upon the state of the economy. In fact, the next verse is this. Look at the next verse. They shall not be ashamed when? And in the days of famine, they shall complain and groan. Lift your hand, let's thank the Lord. That thank you because you have satisfaction for me in the time, in days of famine. Thank you, Jesus. That in these days of famine, in these days of inflation, you will satisfy me. He said, they shall be abundantly satisfied by the fatness of your house. Abundantly satisfied. Let's appreciate God that is satisfying us in this season. Glory to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Give you glory and honor, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 33, verse 18. Just. I don't have anything to offer to you except the word of God. I have nothing else to offer to you. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope. Where? Let's hear the next verse. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Famine doesn't only mean that things are scarce, but also it also means that things are getting high up in prices. And that's where we live in today. Am I correct? I said, am I correct? So we are here because God will keep us alive. And we are here because he will satisfy us. One more time, lift your hands and thank him for keeping you alive and satisfying us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Open your eyes. I keep remembering something that happened in 2020. Remember? It was the year of COVID. Am I right? We were all pressed in to believe God because there was no hope anywhere else. The virus was still just recent. There was nothing to attack it back. The economy went berserk. And all of us just seemed to believe God because there was no one else to go to. And Psalm 91 is our song. It's our quotation. It's our repetition. But you see, there's a problem. I read years ago that when you put a frog inside hot water, it'll jump out because it's too hot. But if you put that same frog inside normal water and gradually increase the heat, it will not jump out until it's boiled and killed. Why? We seem to respond to whatever is quick and bad, but when something is just going on gradually, like Naira devaluation, are you hearing me? We seem to just... But we will do what we did that time. We will take the word of God and declare the contrary. And you know what we did that time? We lost nobody in church during COVID. People had COVID. But we lost... How many of you remember that? We lost nobody. Do you lose anybody? Oh, and there was COVID. In fact, one sister, a doctor, was the first one to get COVID in church with her family. Shut down. That time there was no way to get any. It was the greatest, the worst case scenario. And she was in a house and she got free. Praise God, somebody. I mean, a doctor, not just a teacher. Hallelujah. So this time around, we do the same thing. So let's get to do what we know how to do best. Hallelujah. So can I get our season? What we are not season, we call it prosperity health upgrade. Okay. Let's take our Bible. Let's go to 20. Let's start with the first one. 29 verse 9. Deuteronomy. Pastor, where were you last Sunday? Mogu church. Like you also go church. 29 verse 9. Friday, sorry. Okay. Did I say Sunday? Ah, okay. That one is coming. Okay. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant. And what? Practice, do them that you may prosper in all that you do. Can we all stand up just 1 minute? As we stand up, you know, Jesus, when he opened the Bible in chapter 4, the book of Luke, Bible said, he stood up to read. So I'd like you to stand up and read this verse again. Let's go. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper. Now let's make it. Therefore, I keep the words of this covenant and I'll do them that I may prosper in all. Now lift your hands and thank God for this precious word to us this moment. Tell yourself, Lord, I receive this word, not as the word of a man, but as your word. Thank you that your word is true. I welcome it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Take your seat. All right. Now, we are not reading this verse because we love to read verses in church. We read them because we want to apply them. Now, look at that verse. It says, keep the word of this covenant and do them. It's Pelu Media. Thank you. Help me capitalize keep, do, and prosper. Plus all. So we got 3-4 words. Keep, do, prosper, all. All right. See, if that word keep and the word do, in our mind, they mean the same thing. Keep the commandment means to do the commandment. Am I right? But in the Bible sense, it is not. The first one, it said keep. So somebody want to take it away from you. Then after keeping it, like God told them in the garden, keep this garden and dress it, remember? And Adam forgot to keep it. So keep. You see, many people want to do the word of God. They don't keep it first. They don't treasure it first. They don't welcome it first. They don't make it their own first. So they want to go and do it. It doesn't work. So number one, keep. Stop excusing this verse. Keep it. Take it. Keep the words. Treasure this word or this covenant. And then, after treasuring it, you know that now, you cannot spend money except you borrow it if you don't save it. Am I right? If you don't save money, you can't spend it. If you don't put money somewhere, you can't go reach out and use it. So in the same way, you have to keep the word of God first, then you can now do it. If you don't have the savings, listen, you just can't open the Bible verse and just do it like that. It doesn't work. You just can't spend money like that. There must be money acquired first. Am I right? See, Pastor, why can't I just do what I say in the Bible? It has to enter your heart first and be retained by your heart. And then from there, you can now step out and act on it. Amen, somebody. And I said, all the words, you see, that's making all the difference in the world. If you just hear what I just said now. If you just hear what I just said now, it makes all the difference in the world. Keep the words of this covenant. So, about 2 weeks ago, We said, let's keep a particular word when it comes to prosperity. We went to Luke 6:38. Let's go back there. Luke 6:38. And if you remember what I said that time, give. You know, now listen. Can I be honest with you? Do you know that I don't teach about giving in church? If you notice that, I hardly teach on giving in church. I hardly. If you look back, I talk about your giving, just give anything you want. Remember that? Never talk about your giving in the way that to just. So if I'm talking now, I must either be inspired by God or something serious is happening. You hear me? I don't teach. I'm not one of those money grabber pastors. You know that over the years. Never ask anybody for money. Not planning to do. Never ask, and I don't plan to ask you for money. But I'm teaching because the words of this covenant, Jesus himself, if you open your Bible, it's in red letter. Said, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, we measure back to you. Now, please, everybody listen to this. You know, I'm up here, but I see a flaw here. I guess over the years, many people want to climb to that place without going through the step. See, the very foundation, when it comes to money and finances and getting blessed, is this verse. Listen, I'll share with you today. What's the most important thing you can do when it comes to getting blessed financially? What is the most important thing you can do? When it comes to healing, that's the most important thing you can do. Maybe I'll talk about that today. But when it comes to finances, the most important thing you can do, not God now, the most important thing you can do is to give. In my 20-something years as a pastor, I have watched people in church. Those who have really done well financially, I've seen people listen to me. Some have been blessed in church, and some have not really seen so much in their life. And I also know that those who are blessed like that, people in church that had me to go borrow money from them and don't pay them back, saying that they have gotten money, got a lot of blessed money. They borrow money, people like that in church that God has blessed, and then you don't pay back even because you think that God has blessed them. I know. And you think that it just happened for them, but I know my sheep. Are you hearing me? I've seen that those who ever taken giving as important, as critical, over the years, I've seen them change. Even without saying, I remember a brother in church who had only one car and came to me and said, Pastor, I want to give that car out. I cautioned him. He said, I want to give it to a missionary. Last time he came to see me, that his family wanted to see him. He didn't want to go, because they were wondering, how did he get blessed? I said, go testify in your father's house how Jesus turned your life around. When he finished talking, the father started crying. And what did he do? The basic foundational thing he did was give. That's the first thing. So the most important thing you can do after hearing God. Now, you see, I know that's why I came today. When I say give, you think pastor needs money. When I say give, you think church want to do projects. When I say give, you think whatever you are thinking. But I am saying this because Jesus said this. He said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down. Notice something. Amazingly, notice something. After giving, Everything else is about receiving in that verse. Am I correct? After giving, everything, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, put into your bosom for the same measure, all, everything else is on receiving. Am I correct? Now, so many words were spoken on receiving, but what initiated it is the giving. Now, if you don't do that fundamentally, God himself can't help you. So, you can sit down and listen to, I heard a guy years ago, I heard one guy. This guy has gone to every prosperity seminar. Every book he has read. And he came to see that he was not even having money at all. He was losing money in buying the books. Telling the seminar. But the giving, see that word give there, it's not just only give, it's the word practice giving. Or be giving. Now, I know what you are thinking. Okay, you mean that when they say 10,000, who will give? 50,000, who will give? Christ was not talking about anything like that. Don't mind those pastors. Hello. Okay, now, giving is so fundamental. That's the only way when it comes to blessing to recommend yourself to God. Wow. After hearing God on his word, the next thing to do, let's go. The first, look at the first family. Look at, tell me the first family in the Bible. The first family, you can tell me the first family in the Bible. Adam and Eve now. Do you know what was their crime? They refused to give to God what belongs to God. God said, you can eat all other trees in the garden. But this one, is not for you to receive. What did they do? That God reserved as his authority, they took it. And we are in this mess today. After they left the garden, they got two sons, remember? Let's go and see. Genesis 4. Verse 2. Hallelujah. Then she bore again. This time, his brother Abel, he gave back to Cain first. Now, Abel was a keeper of what? Hello? Herdsman. Huh? And Cain was a tiller of the ground. Are we here, everybody? Next verse. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain, come on, this is foundational. This is the beginning of the human race. Let me tell you my own story. I was in university. I suffered financially. I prayed, read every book possible. Things didn't start until I began to give. Someone said, how can you give as a poor person? Hold on, I'm coming. And that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. What inspired them? Because they knew one way or the other through their parents, that's the fundamental thing you should do. According to the ground you are blessed with. They are both having fruit of the ground. One, fruit of animals, fruit of the ground. Next verse. Abel also brought of the firstborn. Now, there's a quality about his giving. Firstborn of his flock. And after the firstborn, he looked for the fat. Now please look at that verse again. And the Lord respected not just the money, Abel and his offering. So God accords respect to people. Amazing. Somebody said, God is no respecter of persons. That is true, but it doesn't mean that God does not respect people. It's not a respecter. There are two different things. Just because I'm not a cook doesn't mean I don't cook. You got what I just said? God does not have, he does not regard anyone. He's not a regarder of anyone, but he regards when he needs to. So he said, the Lord respected Abel and his offering. So, remember Cornelius. When the angel appeared, I said, your prayer and your almsgiving have come up to God as a memorial. So if you want God to respect you, look at next verse. And he did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain still brought an offering, oh, but God didn't respect him and his offering. So you can see right at the beginning, the foundational blessing to them was you give. Even when he didn't give right, he still gave. But giving right brought respect to God and the offering, or to Abel and the offering. Somebody said, Pastor, does that mean that until I have the best for God? Stop. Redefine your best. Mark 12. Let's go there. This will help us. Mark 12. Praise God. Now, I know some of you, you won't believe that this verse is in the Bible. Look at verse 41. Give us in King James Bible. King James. See? Everybody look up here. It's amazing. Look at this verse. Now, so I don't teach on giving. I'm just doing this because it's foundational for us at this kind of season. And Jesus sat over against the treasury. Let's imagine the treasury where they put this money, you know, this kind of boxes, treasury box. And beheld. What's the meaning of beheld? Setting his gaze on how the people cast money into the treasury. Won't you be bothered when we start raising offering? And I sit over here and I'm looking at how people are giving money. What will you tell your friend outside that church? That pastor is a crook. Am I right? I mean, it would be strange. Those days, they'll come and give offering at the front without making it comfortable for you to sit down wherever you are. And they put that like this one. As you are coming forward, Jesus sat like this and he was watching. That will even make you change your offering. Are you hearing me? That will make you change your offering. I mean, he was looking at you. And he said, what? So, can you imagine how could Jesus sit down there and watch people giving? I don't watch people giving. I keep my eyes away from looking at what you are giving. Because I don't want to be influenced by it. But God watches. Jesus watches. And many, look at that verse, many that were rich cast in much. You see, one of the most dangerous things for your life is that some of you over here, that you're having financial challenges, you can keep on staying that thing forever. I'm just giving you a warning. Because all of us, you see today, we were one time worse than even you. I know people today, Christians, who have houses built, they have skyscrapers, they were worse financially to start with. But they received that fundamental statement. You see, he watched the rich, but it was not after the rich. Look at next verse. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Wait, rich were giving. That's the problem. You will not give because you think you don't have. You will not share. If you have one bag of rice, you think of giving maybe a Congo. But when you have only one Congo left, ain't no time to give. Forget it. But number two, won't you be intimidated? People are coming at the front and they carry envelope. Fat one from Banana Highland. Huh? Or a lecky or something. And when they throw it, you go boom, boom, boom. You know the way that kind of money sounds in the. Someone say, money. Money is not cold, hard cash. It's soft, warm. You hear me? Cold, hard cash. Coins in here. Coins no more cold, no more hard. Real money is soft and warm. Notice that? Forget it. So, you went boom, boom, boom. And that woman came behind. See, that even should not come up. But nobody will stop her from rising up. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Nobody. See, through in, you could hear the noise in the box. She threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Who should hear about giving more? The poor, those who lack, need to hear more about giving. Every time my money starts going down, my Rajuma giving seriously. Look at next verse. And he called unto him, his disciples. See, he was watching it alone. But when that woman dropped her own, Jesus called disciples and said to them, hey, look, verily I say that this poor widow has cast in more than all day. Which, you see, your money is not valuable when it's plenty. Only 500 key, 1,000, 2,000. But when you have 20,000 naira, and they say 5,000, we have farabale, first of all. My brother, if you have 2,000, somebody says 200 naira, why would that? Your money is more valuable to God when you don't have. See, the rich, he never made comment on them. And this is the problem in church. Many of us come to church thinking that some people are rich, they are giving, they are going to bless us. That is counterproductive. The God of God is going to use them. But we must not excuse ourselves. I want to round up now on this. So he said, that all they which have cast into the treasury. Now let me show you what it means to give when you don't have. That's where you start. That's the foundation. Let's go to chapter 8, 7 Corinthians, verse 1. We just read. Then we stop, worship a little bit, come back to the earth issue. Now, everybody, can you just look up? Give us NLT. I want you to follow this story. I like you. Look away and miss your blessing. Put away your Facebook and listen to this. Now, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches where? In Macedonia. Look at next verse. They have been tested by many troubles. What are troubles? Dollarizing. And they are what? They are not poor. They are very poor. Who is very poor? When the poor call you poor. When the poor calls you poor, you are poor. I mean, you are pouring. Poor. And they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in what? You see, there's something you need to do. When you start going down financially, the real devil's reason is to make you sad. But if you turn around and start rejoicing in the Lord, that's counter-satanic. Praise God, somebody. See, they began to overflow in rich what? Wait, can I ask? Let me ask your neighbor. How can somebody who's very poor be generous? Let me ask the person. I'm looking at you. I'll come and ask you what the person said. So you better get an answer. Huh? Thank you. I know what you are thinking. I'm not answering anything. I'm not in church. Watch your life. See, this is how to live. Keep therefore the words of this covenant. Some people will drop this verse and say it's not reasonable. And that's the end of their success financially with God. How can you become richly generous? Not just generous. When you are very poor. Look at next verse. Take a look. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. See, you're talking about the foundational truth about financial blessing from God. This church in Macedonia got hold of it. That when they are broke, it's time to give more. Wow. And they did it of their own free will. No pastor turning their hands to the back. Remember, when you are small, something you are holding, you turn your hand to the back like that and twist it. The money drops. Am I right? Next verse. Interesting. And they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in. Wait, how many are rich that beg people to come and collect money? They can take more share. I mean, very poor people. They were begging. Don't worry, when we get to heaven, we'll see that. But there'll be no poor people in heaven. I mean, begging. How many of you, in the last 1 year, have you ever begged someone to give to them? I know what your answer. Kusini. These are broke people and broken, and they beg people to collect money. What? Next verse. This is the reason. They even did more than we had hoped for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord. You cannot give like that except you give to the Lord first your life, because no longer about your life. No longer, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? You put your life in the hands of God and become His divine distributor. Clap your hands for Jesus. You got it? You got it? Just as God wanted them to do. God asked a question from one time. He said, God said, if I'm hungry, will I ever ask you? Let's stop there. Can we close our eyes at this moment and say, Father, I receive this word of the covenant. You just heard me, not me, but the word of the Lord, the Bible, the word of God. See, I receive the words of this covenant. I receive the words of this covenant. I receive the words of this covenant. I receive the word of this covenant. For the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just give ourselves to the Lord first this evening. For the Lord. Sing it again. Hallelujah.
We went through it. In this season too, we're going to hamper through the word of God and go through it. We are dealing with prosperity, health, upgrade. Let's go to the dimension of health before we close. Hallelujah. You see how those things on the screen? Prosperity, health, upgrade, that stuff. Flash it for us so we can go to the next one. I told you that when it comes to finances, prosperity, and cool like that, not this one, the one we did, you typed in. Okay, this is good, but just prosperity, health, the one you did, don't worry, just type it in. And don't worry, you can continue. I said the most important thing you can do when it comes to finances is giving. When it comes to health and healing, what's the most important thing you can do? Aside from what God said, what He said He would do, but what is the most important thing you can do? Take a look. Let's go to Mark 5. Hallelujah. Take a look at verse. Verse 31. But His disciples, Mark 5:31, NKJV. But His disciples said to Him, you see the multitude thronging you, And you say, who touched me? Then the woman that touched that got healing. It's your blood. Next verse. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. What does he do? Next verse. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Next verse. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And be what? Let's go to Matthew 9. Two blind men. You know, that same day, that same, after Jesus was going to Jairus' house, that woman touched his hem of garment and said, your faith has made you whole. And while he was still talking with her, let's come back here. While he was still talking to her, they came with a news from the house of the Jairus man. And he said, don't trouble. Look at next verse. Next verse. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Your womb is dead. He told his sister years ago that her womb is around 70 years old. She can never conceive. She got two kids now. What trouble teacher any further? Next verse. And as soon as Jesus had the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be what? Only. Now, you see, English has a way of massacring word. Look at massacre. You see, when you hear the word, your faith has made you all, and then you hear the word believe, you think they are two different words. Am I right? No, but Yoruba says, what's what for? Your faith has made you whole. Igbagbo. Now, what is only believe in Yoruba? Igbagbo, nikan. Am I right? So that word, faith and believe, the same word. This one is doing the faith. He said, don't be afraid. Only do faith. I told the woman, your faith has made you well. That same day, when Jesus finished with Jairus' daughter and healed, as he turned away two blind men, that same day, let's go to Matthew 9. Take a look. Verse 26. Okay, verse 25. But when the crowd was, that's the house of Jairus, put it outside the crowd, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl did what? Arose. Next verse. And the report of this went out into all that land. The same day. Next verse. When Jesus departed from there, so it's the same story, right? He was coming from the bath, from the beach. The woman touched him, going to Jairus' house. Jairus' house, only believe, healed. And then as he was coming out, two blind men followed him crying out saying, son of David, have mercy on us. Next verse. And when he had come into the house, so he left one house to enter another house, the blind men came to him. It's as if that they cried for mercy, nothing happened, right? They only got his attention. And Jesus said to them, let me hear your voice. Do you believe? Do you pray? No. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. What was Christ's reply? Next verse. Let's see together, everybody. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith. Jairus said, come to my house on his way. He said, your faith has made you whole. When they finished and things went bad or badder. They said, don't trouble him. He said, fear not, only do faith. As he finished with that, as he came out, two blind men followed. He said, do you believe according to your faith? So actually, your healing does not depend on God's power. It depends on your faith. So, the most important thing you can do concerning health and healing is to just do faith. Now, we have a problem. When I say faith, many of us get confused. Faith, lo to come. Just listen in Yoruba. What is faith in Yoruba? Bo, ba. So, what is faith? Faith is attentive listening to God. Speak. What's again? Faith is what? Attentive listening. Attentive listening. You see, many of Jesus' healing, are we here? Jesus' healing is like our healing today. Our healing today, that you will hear a man of God say, come to this program, we are going to pray for you. Christ was not praying for anybody. Hallelujah. He was not praying. Show me. I'm a badrafu. What does he do? What was he doing when he was here? Look at your Bible. Let's go to Luke 6. Hallelujah. Luke 6. Thank you, Jesus. I say thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 17. And he came down with them and stood where? On a level place with a crowd of his disciples. And great thousands of them from all Judea, Jerusalem. How many will he pray for? How many will he? One by one. From the sea coast of Tyre, who came to what? To hear him. So, when you want to get healing in Jesus, you have to first of all speak it before you can bow. Is that a good grammar? If nobody is speaking, you can't be hearing. And if you are not hearing, you can't believe. You can't have anything, you can't happen. So, Jesus' healing was, they will hear. Let's go to That's Luke 6, 17. Let's go to Luke 5. Before this, Luke 6, verse 13, 14. Let's see what it says. Or 15. Next verse. However, the report went around concerning him all the more. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be.
Pastor, oh Jesus, did he pray?
Next verse, tell us. Next verse. But so he himself often withdrew where? He was not praying for the people publicly. He was praying for them privately. But when he comes out, he doesn't pray. He preaches. He teaches. He speaks. And when you hear that, that's where your healing comes from. You know, that's not so much healing in churches today. Because I'm not hearing anything. You know, we will hear everything else. And when we are now 16, let us pray. Let us see our face. Look at next verse. Prove it more. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town, Galilee, Judea, and the power. So, as we are speaking now, the power is present to heal us. Lift your hands and say, Father, thank you for the power. To make whole, to make well. Thank you for the power present. And if you are sick in your body, just say, Lord, thank you because now, as I'm listening, I'm getting my health. I'm getting my health. I'm getting my healing. I'm getting my healing. They came to hear and to be healed. They came to hear and to be healed. Say, Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because your power is present right now. Right now. Right now. I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm listening to you. Attentive listening. Is faith in action. Oh, hallelujah. Put your hands down. You know, people, they will say something, they just say, I won't take drug anymore. That will make you well. You throw away your glasses, you go look for it again, stack them around. No, that's not start. Start from listening. You listen, you listen, you listen, you listen, you listen, you listen, you listen. Prophets over here, years ago, and his family, they were always getting sick. He just kept listening and kept teaching. He kept listening. It looks like an oddity. It looked like a paradox. But that word overtook the best. Praise God, somebody. Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God in the highest. Let's go a step further. That is so. So how should we respond to this? This has been the pattern of God from the beginning. Let's go to 16th Exodus. Exodus 16, verse 25. Take a look. 15, verse 26. Forgive me. 15, verse 26. I changed the 5 and 6. Listen to what God said. Can you give us an NLT or a Bible that's clearer? That's clearer. This one. If you listen. How? If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, obeying his command and keeping, see that word again, keeping all his decree, then I will not make you suffer. Why? I will not make you suffer. I will thank God because you are hearing me. Praise God, somebody. From the Lord who heals you. Listen. Listen. Oh, will you say like Samuel, Lord, speak. Your daughter is listening. Will you say that to him? Speak. Your son is listening. Lord, speak to me through your servant, through the scriptures, through that inner voice in me. Speak to me. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God in the highest. Hallelujah. Open your eyes. So, this, when it comes to health and healing, what matters most is, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Let them not depart from your heart. Keep them, keep them, keep them in the midst of your heart for their life. For their life. I'm quoting chapter 4, Proverbs. Verse 21, 22. For their life. Take a look. Where is it? Give us on the screen. 4, 20. For they bring life. Start from verse 20. From verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For the word, they are life. Tell yourself, these words are life. Say that with me. These words are life. The word I'm hearing now, the words I'm hearing, they are life. They are life. They are life. They are life. Lift your hands and say, Father, your words are life. They are life to me. Now tell yourself, they are healing to all my flesh. Can you wrap your hand around yourself? They are healing to all my flesh. All my bones, all my tissue from top of my head to the sole of my feet. The words I'm hearing, they are life and health. They are health. They are health. They are health. They are healing. They are medicine. I'm taking medicine right now as I'm listening. I'm taking medicine now. The crowds, they came from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, from Judea. They came and they were taking their medicine from the mouth of Jesus. All their flesh. No part of the body exempted. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And tell yourself, my health shall be radiant because I'm listening attentively. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? Hallelujah. Always remember this. Pastor, you said Jesus is not dead. In fact, he's here right now. He said, we are two or three. You know, I have to be aware of that Jesus is here now. Pastor, are you joking? I'm not joking. He's here. with his full power and authority and dominion. He's here. And he's listening. But there's something about him. He can see every heart here. He can see your response. He can see your eagerness or your lethargy. He can. All seeing eyes belong to him. Let's close with John 5 as we go home. Remember I read the verse on Sunday that I stumbled on in second service? I was just teaching and I stumbled on that verse. It just grabbed hold of me since that time. You know the verse now? Chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, verse 9. How old glory? NLT. Everybody look up here. Woo! NLT. I had myself said, ask for NLT. I just quoted the verse out of blues. God will do this. Why? For he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you. Tell everybody, that's talking about you. Tell everybody for me. Tell everybody, that's talking about you. He's invited you into partnership. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm an eternal partner of Jesus. Praise God, somebody. Those days when we get married, we say, that's my future partner. Am I right? My wife used to be my future partner. She's now my lifetime partner. But this one is an everlasting partner. Say, so I will never leave you nor forsake you. I thought you'd jump up and shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord! I said, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Jesus, you are my everlasting partner. Jesus, you are with me in the valley and on the hill, in the mountains and in the valley, in the water and in the fire. You are always there with me. Thank you. You are my partner for life. My senior partner for life. Hallelujah. Sit down. Who has invited you into partnership? If I enter into business partnership with Jesus, I can't fail. Even if I fail, it won't fail. In the boat, they got scared and they were failing their faith. And Jesus got up because they are partners. And did something about it. When Peter was sinking, his faith was not alone there. If it was faith alone, he would have sunk. But his faith was with Jesus. Praise God, somebody. I said, praise God, somebody. I said, praise God, somebody. Say it again. I'm an everlasting partner with Jesus. And he will never let me sink. Praise God. Come on. I want to clap my hands for Jesus one more time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everlasting partner. And you know, the beautiful thing, he won't stay back in church. When we close, he'll go with every one of us. Woo! Glory. You like me to come to your house and stay there? Christ is better than me by million, billion, zillion times. John 5, verse 1. Come and see Jesus getting involved as your healer. Verse 1, John 5. John 5, verse 1. Quickly, let's run and get out of here. Our time is fast spent. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. That was a congregation. That was an assembly, like a church gathering. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem to go and attend the service. But by the way, he branched. Next verse. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. Next verse. In this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. There was no speaking there. There was no speaking. There was no hearing there. You just wait for the water. Now please, don't be caught waiting for an angel. It may never be your turn. It may never be your turn. Why? Somebody else is faster than you. Next verse. And a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Around this time, Christ was about 33, 32, 31 years old. So the spirit of this man was older than Jesus physically. Next verse. Oh, hallelujah. Partnership with Jesus. Tell yourself, I'm an everlasting partner with Jesus. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? Now wait, how could you be asking me? I'm there looking for healing. Dr. Rele, do you ask patients, do you want to be made well? He said, "Doctor, clearly saw you now. That's where I came now." But listen to me. I said, faith is hearing and speaking. Huh? Jesus wanted to locate him. Second, by your words, you are justified. By your word, you are condemned. You see, that guy, you have to, no matter what is doing you, that will speak your desire. Are you hearing me? Remember, Prof? Prof was in a meeting, community association. They're talking about hypertension. And somebody said, Buhari is enough to give us hypertension. Or Tinubu. The man said, he picked him again. Prof spoke out. Are you hearing me? I'm not going to get professor from Tinubu. But Adaka am not going to get Adaka asuma ateleloli. Do you want to cry? Can you ask me, sir? Do you want to be made well? That's your neighbor for me. Do you want to be well? You really want to be well? You sure really want to be well? Hallelujah. You want to be well? Do you really want to be well? Really, really want to be well? Sure. And there was a rich man one time. I was talking to one small boy. The boy came, be my mentor. Ogasa, I know you are rich. Can you be my mentor? The man was swimming by the swimming pool, enjoying himself. So the boy came and said, "I want you to be my mentor. You know this thing, bro? I want you to be my mentor. Can you make me your make me your mentee?" He said, "Mugbo." He said, "What do you want?" "I want to be rich." He grabbed the boy, put him inside water, and keep him there. The boy went to respect the elderly man. He did like that a little bit. The man kept him there. He kept him there. After a while, the guy pushed. He kept him there. After a while, just give the man one cut. Boom! I came out of the water. He said, "Papa, I said be my mentor, not my killer." He said, "Why do that for?" He said, "If you desire to be rich like you desire that first breath you took out of the water, you'll get rich. You don't want to be well? Hallelujah. Please stop thinking sickness. Set your whole being against pain, against disease." Sometimes an article on sickness, jump it. Are you hearing me? I give kudos to doctors who go every day doing things like this. Let's clap for them. Let's clap for them. They are waking up every day fighting sickness and disease. Am I right? Wake up every day, even without paying well. Come on, Lord, come on, for a coffee, Ben. Dr. Sugabi, every day, ear, nose, and throat, ear, nose, and throat, ear, nose, and throat, all these years, fighting it, GP, fighting it. Join them and fight it too. At least in your own life, clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Fight it. Don't just stand against it. Pain come to you, don't just, what's the money, none here? As go to me, I bat in the knee, but the 50 by, must celebrate. One pastor was telling his old church members, he says, "I know you are going to die, but die well." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Die well. Hallelujah. So tell yourself, I'm against sickness. I'm against disease. Let's stop that today. You know why? Why you must be against sickness and disease? Because it is satanic oppression. Every sickness, every disease, Act 10, let's close there, we can go further. Act 10:38. Every sickness, every disease, cancer, malaria, liver disease, stomach disorders, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and opposing sickness, healing all who were what? You know, I went to medical school. Listen. It's difficult for me to accept this truth. I know what caused it. I know there's a virus. I know there's a bacteria. I know that some kind of environmental will bring fibroid. Are you hearing me? Or SLE. When I was in medical school, you see our textbook like this. You will not find fibroid. Hardly find fibroid. You will see SLE. I mean, when I was in school, SLE was almost half of the book on medicine. Pastor, I don't know what SLE is. You won't know it. So I went to medical school and I was told that sickness is from that and this and that and this and this. And some of this is true. But actually, it's an oppression of the devil. And hear me, I don't want any of the devil's goods. Praise God, somebody. Praise God, somebody. Just imagine if I'm standing here and a rat jump on me and I push it to you. What do you do next? Kick it off. Hallelujah. Now, Pastor, are you saying I must not take drug? Yeah, you say I must not swallow something. Swallow with fight. Are you hearing me? I'm not retaining you, but you take this thing. When people go, I'm a fake drug. I'm a fake drug. You like the sickness, huh? Well, if you have a fake drug, just stand against it. Hallelujah. Amen. Say it with me. Sickness and disease are satanic oppression. Satan, I know you are behind every sickness and every disease. I don't understand that, but I experience freedom from your oppression. I'm free from your oppression. One more time. I'm free from your oppression. Louder. I'm free from your oppression. Louder. I'm free from your oppression. I am free from oppression. So, healing all who are oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Is God with us? Is God with us? Get up on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, I feel so great for all these who are young here today. We are hearing things like this. All of you that are younger, less than 30, hear things like this. You got days of health and healing in your future. They said to me that the millennials are the sickest in America. They are the brokest. You know, brokest. Huh? You know why? They don't want to hear the word of God. Praise God. If you are less than 30 over here, you are really blessed. You are lucky. You are lucky. Many of us, all we had was sickness, disease. We grew up in sickness and disease. We never prayed in our father's house. In my father, we never prayed for our sickness. Oh, we wake up in the morning in our journal for prayer. We pray for Reverend in Yoruba. Enyowo. Babalola ati Iyaf Babalola ni Saki. We pray for them. We pray for all those who are sick around the world and those who are broke. But those who are sick in our house, we never prayed. Close your eyes. Let's lift our hands and thank God for our healer. You are the Lord that healeth me. Let's make it our song as we go home. Lift your hands and say, Father, you are my healer. You are my healer. He said, for I am the Lord your healer. If you listen, you listen now. We've listened. He said, I will not allow this to come on you. I want to stop dreading what they are dreading. I will not allow. Praise God. You are the Lord that healeth me. As we go home, can you lift up your hands and tell the Lord that He, whether you are sick or not, it doesn't matter. We are all against sickness and disease. You sent your word. Did you hear that? And heal my diseases. Oh, sing it. Open your mouth and sing it. You are Jehovah Rapha.
You are the Lord.
Open your mouth and sing. You are the Lord.
You are the Lord. My
hero. You sent your word. One more time. You are the Lord. Let's confess it.
That He let me.
Oh,
you are the Lord.
My healer.
And you sent your
You sent me.
believe that. Believe that.
Can you heal? Heal, heal, heal.
Whoa.
You are the Lord.
And now, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the sick say I'm well. And now.
And now. Let the weak say let the poor say,
let the poor say,
because of what
because
the Lord has
done
for me, for you, for us. And
now
we confess. We confess, we confess.
I confess, I confess that. Oh,
I confess that I'm strong.
I confess that I'm rich. Because of what
because
the Lord has done.
Hallelujah. As you go, remember, these words are light. They are life and they are light. Bible says in him was life and the life was the light of men. And it says this, and the light shines. That means, and the head shines in the midst of sickness. And the sickness cannot overcome it. Praise God, somebody. And the grace shines in the midst of poverty and lack and trouble in our country. And the troubles in the country cannot overcome it. Lift your hands. Let's thank him for his blessing. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. As we go, blessed be the name of the Lord. As we go home, we are blessed by the blessed God. Let's go home. Whoa.
He is worthy.
Let's bless him. Who bless us? Let's bless the Lord. Who bless us? Hallelujah. Oh, bless.
Blessed
be your
name.
One more time, one more time, one more time. Blessed be your name. Good night, good night.